have the joy of God. Right. I think we are feasting, enjoying all this wonderful feast. We cannot help but have the joy of God.
Amen.
And, praise the Lord. Now, are we done with 11? I hope so. I don't think we should dwell too much on it. I believe it is probably enough. But you have to realize you have the wonderful Passover lamb. You have the rich unleavened bread. And then you have the bitter herbs. Remember that. Then we can truly purge away all the leaven that is within us. Such a wonderful feast. I don't think anybody would be against such a feast, will you? Right? Suppose Vancouver didn't want to keep the feast. You do. What about if Fountain Valley didn't want to keep the feast?
No.
Also, I guess I have no choice. I have to keep the feast with you. Right? The feast of unleavened bread. Amen. Such a wonderful feast. Prepared by the living God for us to enjoy. Now, this morning we go to the third feast. The feast of first fruits. Definitely in this wonderful feast, it talks about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ rose from the dead on the third day. You know, if you read a book of Acts, you can see that the disciples and the apostles, they all, without any exception, testified that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead on the third day. Right. What is easier to believe? That he died on a cross? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. It didn't work so well. I hope I have an ear to hear. What do you think is more important or easier to believe? That he died for us on a cross or that he rose again from the dead? What is easier to believe? He died on the cross. Of course, because everybody died. Everybody died. I've never seen anyone yet who cannot die. Have you? But have you ever seen somebody who rose from the dead? Never. So, which is easier to believe? To believe that Jesus died on the cross, or that he rose again from the dead on the third day? My, what do you think? Definitely, to rise from the dead, that is really something nobody ever saw before, right? And our Lord Jesus Christ is really the first who rose from the dead, never to die again. I like to read to you Revelation chapter 1. Let us turn to Revelation chapter 1. Beginning in verse 17 to 18. And when I saw him, let us read together. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Praise the Lord. Wow, what a wonderful Christ. He lived. Then he died. And what happened again? And he rose. And he's alive forevermore. Amen. What a wonderful Christ. And not only that, after he died, he visited Hades. Right? The first day he died, that evening, then on Sabbath day he rested, he took a tour of Hades, and the third day he came out of Hades, holding the keys of Hades and of death. That means he conquered death. Right. He took the keys of Hades and of death. You have to realize what a victorious death. When the Lord Jesus died, he not only died for our sins, but after he died, he paid the kingdom of death a short visit. To do what? To take the keys away. If I take your car keys away from you, what's going to happen to your new car? You have no more power over your car. I got your keys. So who's going to drive the car now? You or me? Now, me, you got a new car, and I got your keys. So what do you prefer, the keys or the car? When I get the keys of your car, that means that car is mine now. I can drive your car. Right? So the Lord went through death and Hades and took the wonderful keys. Are you afraid of death now? Now let us read Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Amen. Verse 14, let's read 14 and 15, okay? Amen. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Amen. How about that? You think the Lord didn't do anything? He just lied in his grave, and the third day he rose again. You know, even after the Lord Jesus died, he did a lot of work. Don't think he didn't do anything. Right, he did a lot of wonderful works which nobody could do. My, he destroyed him who has the power of death. This is wonderful. Amen. Right. Then let's read another verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All of this is so wonderful. You really need to see. Yeah. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, amen, amen. Verse 54, no, beginning in verse 53, how about that? Until 57, amen. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you say today, O death, where is your sting? Hades, where is your victory?
Amen.
Is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 just a doctrine? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is just that he got out of the grave? What is the resurrection to you? After reading all these three portions of the Bible today, what a wonderful Christ we have, a victorious Christ. Right? Then let us read another verse in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, right? Because people say there's no resurrection. Those in Corinth. Let us read verse 12, beginning in verse 12, unto verse 17, right? Or 18, until 18. Well, until 19. The more the better. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead,
how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile.
You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Are you? Are you the most pitiable people in California? What can I say? There's nothing left to say. The word itself is so wonderfully clear. Right? So wonderfully clear. If Christ is not risen from the dead and you only preach about his death on the cross, that he died for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins, but you never rose from the dead and Christ never rose from the dead. What did Paul say? You are still what? Dead in your sins. And your faith is futile, empty, vain, nothing. What a wonderful resurrection. What a wonderful resurrection. It is so wonderful I have no words to describe to you. Right? Christ is risen. He conquered death. He destroyed him who has the power of death. And today he holds the keys of Hades and of death. And he liberates everyone who is in his whole lifetime in the bondage of the fear of death. Oh, thank you very much, brother. Thank you. Are you afraid to die? Ah, I've never seen anyone yet who is not afraid to die. But all the apostles, all the martyrs, all of these people, they were not afraid to die. Are you afraid to die? Are you? Oh, if you have seen such a wonderful resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you tell me, did the Lord, was he afraid to die on a cross? No, he wasn't. Certainly it was a suffering, because he's dead. His death is not only dying, but he went through a lot of suffering, right? But the Lord knew he's going to rise on the third day. So if you know that you're going to die just for one day, and rest the second day, and the third day you're going to rise, you're going to rise again from the dead, are you afraid to die?
That is no.
Oh, definitely not. You know, if I know that I'm just going to die on one day, the third day I'm going to rise, kill me. Kill me. Kill me. I'm going to rise the third day. And after I rise the third day, it's never to die again. How about that? George, are you afraid to die if you are going to rise again the third day and never to die again? Now, let me ask you again. Are you afraid to die like that? No, definitely not. Oh, tell me the truth. Just for one day. And after that one day, you rose again. You'll be changed, corruptible, change into incorruption. How about that? The mortality, you'll be putting immortality, and just to die for one day, whoa! Oh, goodness, you're going to get a spiritual body, a glorious body. Are you afraid to die?
No.
You have to see what it's all about. If you don't see what it's all about, then you just believe, oh, Jesus Christ rose again the third day. Right. For us, for someone, somebody died, oh, somebody died, oh boy, he died. Paul says, well, why are you crying like that as if you have no hope? What did Paul say? He says, as long as I live in this earthly tabernacle, he is happy. He's groaning. And he wished to leave this tabernacle and be with the Lord. How about you? Not bad. He's getting there. You know, for us, I love to live in this body. And I will groan if I die. we have just have a different concept than Paul. Change your concept. How about that? You want to change your concept?
Yes.
Because he knows the power of his resurrection. Wow. Resurrection is really marvelous. It is wonderful. I'd like to know more and more about his wonderful resurrection. I don't know if you do or not. I'm very curious. I want to know the power of his resurrection. My, such a wonderful experience. No wonder the Lord was not afraid to die. This is really true. And then, not only that, Let us read Acts chapter 13. This morning, we're just going to read some verses. That's good. Acts 13, verse 33, before and after that. He is talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, beginning in verse 29. Now, when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. Okay. They didn't know that what they did to the Lord Jesus was just to fulfill the word. Well, you know, so they thought they got rid of him. Well, they got rid of him for one day. The third day he rose again. In the first day they tried to get rid of him. And they did, and then put him in the tomb. On the Sabbath day. It's wonderful. The Lord was put in a tomb on a Sabbath day. What is the Sabbath for? Rest. Yeah. The Lord rests for one day. 24 hours. Lies and rested. But on the third day, in verse 13, let's read together. But God raised him from the dead. Wow. How wonderful. God raised him from the dead. Amen. Must be a very special experience. Never before like that. Very wonderful. But you have to see something more wonderful than just rising from the dead. You need to see. I hope that we can all see. And he was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people, witnesses to God. Do you have to witness to God? God, I want to testify to you, you know. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. God will look at you and said, I did it. I did it. What are you talking about? I did it. And we declare to you the glad tidings. That promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in Psalm what? Psalm 2. My David already saw that a long time ago, 1,000 years before it happened. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Now we have a problem here. Who is this son that he's talking about? Jesus. So when did Jesus become the Son of God? Wasn't he already the Son of God in John chapter 1, verse 1? When was Jesus the Son of God? For God so loved the world, let me help you. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he sent his only begotten Son. So,
from the beginning.
From the very beginning already, he was God. So which Son of God is he talking about here? You are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Today, when is that today? Day of resurrection. Now let me ask you, did Jesus Christ become the Son of God only at the day of resurrection?
No.
Then the Bible is wrong here. My goodness. David was wrong. And Paul was wrong. And we are wrong. Because Jesus was the only begotten Son of God long before from eternity. So what is this talking about? Today I have begotten you, and that he raised him from the dead. That proves that it's today. Today is the day of resurrection. No more to return to corruption. Wow, wow, hallelujah. No more to return to corruption. Oh, I'm longing for that day that there's no more corruption. Because today I'm subject to corruption. Aren't you? Don't think you're not. I'm subject to corruption as long as I live. Right. Today I have begotten you. This today is the day of resurrection. I have begotten you. Who is you? Jesus. But it's the humanity. Jesus as a man, not as God. As God, he was the Son of God from eternity to eternity. No beginning, no end, no father, no mother.
Amen.
As written in the book of Hebrews, like under the Son of God. He was the Son of God, as God. No beginning, no end, no father, no mother. No beginning of days, no end of life. But now, he became a man. Let us read now, Romans chapter 1. All of these verses you need to put together in Orgete. A marvelous picture of what happened on the day of resurrection. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared or designated to be Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, before the foundation of the world. I didn't pay much attention. I paid attention to my concept. Declared to be Son of God. Wasn't he already Son of God? How come he should still be designated as Son of God? Was he already or was he not? Huh?
Amen.
He was. He was the Son of God, the only begotten as God. Then he became a man. Jesus was incarnated, born of the Virgin Mary, of the seed of David, according to the flesh. That was his humanity, his life as a human being. That part was a true man, like you and me. Nothing different from you, except he has no sin. Apart from that, no leaven, he is exactly like you. He was a man. That part was not the Son of God. The Lord Jesus did not come to this earth to be God, but he came to be man. He was the Son of Man, of the seed of David. He has a genealogy. Like you and like me. Now, through death and resurrection, that part, that human part of the Lord Jesus Christ that is similar to you and me through the resurrection from the dead by the Spirit of holiness, he became the firstborn Son of God.
Amen.
As a man designated to become Son of God, to be the Son of God. That part which was of the seed of David, that part which was born of the Virgin Mary, that part who is truly human like you and me, that part through resurrection by the Spirit of holiness was now designated to be the firstborn Son of God.
Amen.
The first fruit.
Amen.
He is the first fruits. You know, dear brothers and sisters, God must be very excited. And I believe all the angels in the heavens must be, wow, exuberant. Excited. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. Finally, 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 after 6,000 years, a man became a son of God. Ah, hallelujah. Because that was the very reason why God created man. So that we can receive the sonship. But man fell, goodness, and became sons of the devil. Then Jesus Christ became a man and went through the cross, crucified, dealt with the devil, put away sin. My, praise the Lord, accomplished redemption, paid the ransom, the Lamb of God, hallelujah, the Passover Lamb. He accomplished so much, went through death and conquered death. Rose again from the dead, and as a man, he became the firstborn among many brethren.
Amen.
The firstborn from the dead. That's why there is the feast of the what?
Firstborn.
The firstborn from the dead. You don't want to celebrate that feast?
No.
Is a doctrine. Oh, John So is just talking about some dead knowledge and dead doctrine. Dead doctrine. Have you ever heard this? I don't mean that it's a dead doctrine. I mean, heard this, that wow, through such a wonderful process in resurrection, the Son of God, a man, become a son of God. If you go and tell your people there who are at your work, do you know who I am? I'm the Son of God. They will look at you. How can you be a son of God? Son of God. You, Son of God. You should say, yes, I am a son of God. Wow. Do you appreciate this verse in Romans chapter 1? But if you're not keeping the feast of the first fruit, you will not appreciate this. For you is a dead doctrine. Oh, for me, it's through him I become his brethren. I become a son of God. In power. To Jesus designated as a son of God in weakness. Only the firstborn is strong. In power. And you who are the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ are all weaklings. You sure? Let me read to you again. Declared or designated to be the Son of God with weakness. With power. With power.
Amen.
According to the Spirit of holiness. Wow. Wonderful. The Spirit of holiness. Do you have the Spirit of holiness? Do you appreciate holiness? By what? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, let's go to verse chapter 8. Chapter 8. Verse 28 and 29. And verse 30. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. What is His purpose now? What is His purpose? To be the Son of God. What kind of a Son of God? Weak sons of God. Corruptible sons of God. Okay, let's continue to read. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Which image? Which Son? The only begotten Son as God? No. The firstborn. Let's read. Right? Conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Wow. That firstborn, how did He become the firstborn now? You have to go back to chapter 1. Designated to be Son of God in power by the Spirit of holiness through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is why we are celebrating this wonderful feast of the general harvest. No, are you sure? First fruits. First fruits. You sure?
Yes.
You love the first fruits.
Amen.
Now, don't you like to be like Him?
Yes.
Or don't you want to be something else? Right. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Oh, you will say, well, but I'm not like Him. That's wrong. Because God wants to conform you to His image.
Amen.
Do you want to be? But you don't. You have to wait for me, okay?
No.
Wait for me. Don't you try to conform, be conformed to the firstborn. You have to wait for me. Okay?
No, sorry.
You don't love me. You don't care for me. You're not worried about me. Yeah, but you have to be sympathetic with me. You are so selfish. But you know, God wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Listen, we love all the sins. Whether you're strong, you're not strong, we love all the sins. And we are here to help everyone to be conformed to the image of His Son. And the best way to be conformed, to help the weak, is if they see that such a man like you and me, and we are all the same, can be conformed. If I see my, if this young brother can make it, I should be able to make it too, right? And to see that it's possible. If I don't see anybody being conformed to the image of the firstborn, I will think, oh, well, it's all right. We're all the same. Nobody can make it. So, I'm okay because nobody made it. But look, he's an elder. He didn't make it. And he is the one leading the young people. He didn't make it. And look at Opa there. He's been in the church life for so many years. Still didn't make it. So it's okay that I don't make it. Right? Do you think that is a help to anybody? And if you made it conform to the image, you must be so proud. You're conform. You think you're somebody, eh? Then if you're nobody, how come you said you are conformed to the image? But nobody can make it. If you think you are, then you're wrong. So don't you ever say that. Not in the church life. You can say it in your own room. Paul told Timothy, be a pattern to the believers. Let your progress be known to everyone. Wasn't Paul afraid that Timothy would be proud? You're supposed to be a pattern. How can you be proud? Be a pattern of a true worshiper. Be a pattern of one who is enjoying all the wonderful riches of Christ. Not so that you say, oh, you see, I'm special. No. No, never. But to be an encouragement for others. I don't know what kind of a thinking we have in our mind. Right? So, dear saints, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also what? Glorified. Glorified. Now, let me tell you, why is there such a thing as the first fruit? Have you ever had a fruit tree? Right? You sure? You have seen one, right?
Yes.
What kind of a tree have you seen?
Avocado,
orange trees, apple trees, orange tree in Orange County, right? You have some trees in your home?
Oh, yeah, we have a fig tree.
You have a fig tree. That's good. They are all so uniformed. They all blossom at the same time. They all grow at the same time. They're green all at the same time. And suddenly they all ripen at the same time. You must have a special tree. That
it's a wondrous tree.
Huh? What?
It's a wondrous tree.
Oh, now I know. It's called the oneness tree. Thank you for telling me that there is such a beautiful, wonderful tree called the oneness tree. Oh my goodness, I want to have one. Would you please give me a seed?
Doesn't exist.
Oh, of course it does. Otherwise you wouldn't coin such a term. It exists in your mind. It's a oneness tree. I have never seen such a tree yet. I don't know, have you? Maybe it's an African tree or Nigerian tree. No, impossible. It's not possible. Suppose you're a fig and I'm a fig, and you want to ripen, I will tell one fig, tell the other fig, don't you ripen first. You have to wait until I'm so far, then we can ripen together. It doesn't work. I'm glad we all know it doesn't work like that. It does not work like that, brother. Even if I want to wait, I cannot. Otherwise, I will rot away. If nobody picks me and I'm ripe, I will rot away. Do you want to rot away? Just hang on to the tree until the rest are ripened. Just hang on, brother. Just hang on. Just hang on. Wait, wait. Wait, be patient. You should love the other figs. Just hang on. You know, this is the principle of life. I'm sorry. What can you do? How can you regulate it? And if we really, truly know life, life grows and never stops. Right. Anyway, how wonderful it is. In resurrection, God gained a firstborn son. If you know what is in God's heart, even before the foundation of the world, Ephesians chapter 1 says, He has chosen us to be holy and without blemish, to receive the sonship. And then somebody came and spoiled it. The serpent came and spoiled mankind and injected the serpentine poison into man, corrupted man, right? And death came in. How terrible. Sin and death came in. And this is what the book of Romans is telling us, right? Through one man's obedience, death came in. Through one man's what?
Disobedience.
What?
Disobedience.
So are you going to be obedience or disobedient? Are you sure? You really want to obey? Then what offering is that again?
The burnt offering.
Wonderful. Wow. Not bad. This is why I love the burnt offering. Don't you? Because I want to learn to be like unto the Son of God, who is so obedient to the Father's will. Because it is through one man's disobedience, sin came in. And who follows sin? Life. Death followed sin. And then sin and death reigned over all men. Then the Lord came in to clear all that. And then through resurrection, He came up to be the firstborn. Now we go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 20 now. Let's go to verse 20. And 21. And 22 and 23 together. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. No, Lord Jesus, you have to wait for the rest. You should lie in grave. And don't rise first. Tell the Lord Jesus that, how come you don't wait for me? Right? He's the first fruit to rise from the dead. But you know, through his resurrection, he brings you out from the dead too.
Amen.
This is a wonderful thing. If you become a true worshiper, you are going to influence everybody and bring them with you, to encourage them Amen. To also be the first fruits and to also be a true worshiper. Isn't that right? This is the biblical principle. Right? Now tell me, did the Lord rise by himself? No, I mean just himself rose up alone. I'm the first, praise the Lord. You see, nobody rose from the dead except me. Ha ha. How about that? You think the Lord has this crazy notion? I don't think so. Freddie, what do you think? I don't think so. Through his resurrection, we Amen. Were made alive together with him. It's time again. We have to pause the resurrection. He brought us all into this resurrection. We were raised together with him. This is a wonderful spiritual principle. This is really true, believe me. Because he rose from the dead, now I believe I also can rise from the dead. Although I am so weak. Although I am so corrupt. Although I look hopeless. But because somebody rose from the dead, which is Jesus Christ. My goodness, now I have hope. Hope that I will also rise from the dead. And indeed, spiritually, we are risen with him from the dead. And it is even written where? In Ephesians chapter 1, what did he say? This exceeding great power. What kind of a power was that? It only works in Jesus Christ. It doesn't work in you. Come on. That's not true. Are you so strong? Then that power didn't work. You all have to learn from Paul. I can do a few things. I can do some things. I can do nothing. What? You are too proud to say that. Proud. You're a proud brother. You're a proud brother. If you say I can do all things through Christ, you are going to make me feel bad because I can't do all things through Christ. What should I do? You should change your concept, or should I change my concept? Really? You're right. I have no argument. Because your concept is the biblical concept. My concept is the fallen concept. I can do all things by myself. Through Christ. Don't forget that word, through Christ. Through Christ. That means you have to enjoy Christ. You have to live Christ. If you don't live Christ, then sorry. But if you're living Christ, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So is there any reason for you to be weak? Oh, yes, there is. If you don't live Christ.
Oh, yes.
No, that's right. So I shouldn't live Christ because I have to wait for you.
No.
But you feel bad.
That will encourage me to go on.
That will encourage you to go on. You're sure of that?
Definitely.
Wonderful. Thank you, brother. We'll make it together. Right. Christ now has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For sins by men came death, by men, the second man. By the first man came death, by the second man came the resurrection from the dead and of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ some shall be made alive. Just the strong ones will be made alive. No? We must have a different Bible. No, we have the same Bible, except different mind, different eyes. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. No, 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 it cannot be. That's wrong. There's no oneness, each one in his own order. All at the same time. I'm going to change this verse. Right? Because it says, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. And each one in his own order. No, 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 no. All shall be made alive. So all becomes the first fruit. Each one in his. Are you sure? You minister, you're going to ripen first than me? There's an order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You first, I second. Well, now turn it around. I first, you second. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ, the first fruit.
Amen.
The first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. Then afterwards, those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the, what, to the Father?
Kingdom.
Kingdom, why kingdom? I don't like the word kingdom. When he delivers the church to the Father. The kingdom. You mean to say the kingdom has something to do with resurrection? The kingdom. Anyway, I don't want to be distracted because we're talking about the first fruits.